All right, let's go to David Zhang. David has been very patient. We're way over, but we were having an amazing conversation there with Rebecca, and I just did not want to interrupt that. But David's been very patient. David, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, welcome. I should say thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you for your patience, and I don't know if you felt like you learned anything listening to all that. And I don't know if you noticed we were talking about the attack on our New York Stock Exchange today, the FAA having gone down the other day. People are missing some money from their Bank of America due to some kind of glitch. We had rolling blackouts during Christmas time, and some people find themselves without power at Christmas and Christmas Eve. A weird time. And yet someone would have to wonder if if this isn't our own government testing this, or some outside force doing this, or even could we be the victims of testing going on for a cyber war? Where is China when it comes to a cyber war against America?
You know, what's interesting is the US and Japan actually had an alliance that extended into almost like a NATO for space just recently, in a fear that something like this would happen when China tries to invade Taiwan. They basically shut down the satellite system in the United States and Japan, essentially the entire Western Hemisphere for that fact. And then so you'd be in a communications blackout. And then by the time they've done with Taiwan, you restore your system, being the big country that we are. It takes time, and it takes even more time for us to come to Taiwan's rescue. So it's definitely one of those parts of a strategy to reduce the amount of support the United States can give when China does something. But, you know, if we're talking like a real cyber invasion into the mainland, the United States, from the mainland to the United States, I think right now they don't dare to do it just because that would be considered an act of war. But I mean, we've seen in the past the Chinese hacker groups like App41, they have the ability to go into federal government infrastructure and to hack into a system. So what you said, I think it's not impossible. And in fact, I think it's a big worry that the US government should actually focus on, because the future of warfare is in cyber, and it's more than just guns and planes and tanks.
Wow. You know, I remember there during, well, here's an article right here. This is NPR. This is liberal NPR. Russia hacked U.S. power grid. So what will the Trump administration do about it? March 2018. You know, that's really interesting. It's because we had Vostok 18 in the year 2018, where China and Russia had their war games together, said to be the largest war games in America, in world history. And right before those war games, which, by the way, they were practicing, according to the late Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, whose TV and radio show we produced his show right from this desk. Dr. Pry said that they were testing a nuclear attack on NATO and the United States. Well, you know, that doesn't sound like much in 2018. Now you bring that forward to today, where there's all this talk about NATO and Ukraine and the Russian war going on, and us providing them with tanks and us providing Ukraine with Patriot missiles and encouraging them to shoot them over there and bringing Ukrainians over here to America to train how to use the Patriot system. I mean, we're involved in a proxy war with Russia, which I think indirectly means we're already at war with China, since they're in such strict military alliance. And yet Dr. Price said before they actually carried out the Vostok 18 exercise, they carried out something known as Operation Dragonfly, where they were hacking on our power grid. Even NPR knows back in 2018, Russia was hacking on our grid.
It's very insane for the U.S. infrastructure to remain vulnerable as it is right now, considering the fact that within the next decade or so, I mean, the peacetime can only last so long before something like this, especially when great powers decide to compete, right? What you said in 2018, I think that Russia and China have been preparing for a cyber-based first strike, something like that kind of ability to have it since at least, I'd say, in the last decade or two. I think it's something inevitable that it's going to happen, and it's going to be part of a bigger invasive plan, whether that's against Taiwan or something else. So I think it's a danger that we're not being told enough about.
Wow. Here's a headline I just found while you were talking. New York Post. Energy Secretary says enemies are capable of shutting down U.S. power grid. That's June 6, 2021. So again, this is during the Biden administration. So you have a Trump administration, a Biden administration. At least they seem to understand these things. What all they're doing about it, I have no idea. But let me ask you, what is the latest you're hearing? I mean, you're following China all the time. I want you to promote your show where people can watch it. What's the latest report you want to give us about China since we last had you on? Did we just lose David? I think we just lost David. There's Terry. Let's see if we can reconnect. Okay, there's David. David, did you hear my question to you?
Yeah, I want to say we should watch for what's been happening with TikTok. The company that owned TikTok called ByteDance, they've just recently renamed themselves called TikTok Company now. And basically, they just got bought out by this Chinese government-owned company, like this shell company. And now, this fear that we have that TikTok is going to be used to spy on Americans, that just got jacked up 100 times because now the Chinese government literally owns TikTok. And so today I heard that Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri is introducing a bill to ban TikTok nationwide. And I think that's something that we should all look for. I mean, you should be calling your representatives and telling them to sponsor this bill when it goes into the House. I don't know if it'll pass the Senate, but you should be talking to your senators. You should be calling their offices. And this is a bipartisan issue. With China, you really can't be doing partisan politics. And with the new Select Committee on China in the House, I think that's a really good step. Another thing to watch for is actually the way the Chinese economy is going to be going forward in the next few months, because now you have three factors that determines that how they will play the tech companies in China, how to get money from them. The second part is what will the real estate sector look like in the next year or so? And then third is how will COVID affect China's economy? Because if the Chinese Communist Party could not get through these few months where these three factors interplay, it's very hard for them to recover. And you know what their economic czar, Liu He, did at the World Economic Forum. I don't know if you saw that, Brandon, but he went and basically lied about the entire thing, that how China is supposed to be a market economy, how that they're gonna kind of follow the international rules and how they will make peace with everybody. All of that, none of what he said is true. And they've been showing us that they're able to fool our elite class into believing that they're changing, but they're not. So I think these are the important factors to watch for when we see China news in the upcoming year.
Wow. All right, David, how can people listen to your broadcast, your daily broadcast?
So I have a YouTube channel called State of Politics with Dave Zhang. I'm also on a platform called ganjingworld.com. You can go on there, you can find me there as well. And I do basically updates every single day on domestic American politics and Chinese, what's been happening with Communist China.
Well, I am going there right now. The State of Politics with David Zhang. Type that in, folks. And there it is, if you guys want to show it. State of Politics with David Zhang right there. Look at that. One of his broadcasts has already had over 15,000 views in 3 days. So the State of Politics with David Zhang. What's been some of your most popular videos, David?
Well, the one I uploaded, I did a calculation basically about how China's crematorium death data shows that we have at least 50 million people that have died over the past 3 years just based off of crematorium data that I got from the Chinese government. Of course, this is based on the estimate that they're only burning a body every hour, but of course, that's not what's been happening in China lately. And that one is pretty popular. My old channel, when I used to work at the Epoch Times, called China Insider, I did a lot of interviews with China experts. And I think, in fact, Dr. Peter Pry had the opportunity to speak with them.
Really? I did not know that. I think we lost him for just a second, but if we wait, he'll come right back. He did while ago. And then we're going to go to Terry Turchie, the former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. But I want to make sure we get Dave, finish up with David here. You still there, David?
Hello, can you hear
Yep.
me?
All right, you're back. So what you were saying after your last show with Epoch Times, that's where we lost you.
Yeah, so I actually had an interview with Dr. Peter Pry before his passing, and that was fortunate because he spoke of the warning how China is a nuclear threat to us, just perhaps even more than Russia, because they have secret nuclear bases in the for the lands that we basically they hide them on the ground and they're ready to use against the U.S. anytime. But yeah, as I said, check out my videos. Hope you can learn something about China. and we can exchange ideas on there as well.
Absolutely. There it is, folks. State of Politics with David Zhang right there on YouTube. Check it out. Subscribe. Follow him. David, thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.